say we go dancing.
I'm in.
Let's go dancing.
Okay, but not somewhere I'm gonna feel worse about myself when no one's interested because I'm fat.
Maybe the universe is telling me that I should fuck that cute virgin and give him the great first time experience that I never had.
That's not karma, that's statutory rape.
You're such a Sex in the City
podcast.
I'm a lost cause. Go on without me. Save yourselves.
Shut up, you bitches! I called the cops!
Cut my car!
Yeah, keep talking. I'll come down there and cut it off for you.
Gay boyfriends are the loophole of monogamy.
I'm a 34-year-old nerd.
Okay, yeah. No, I can kind of hear it now. I can kind
of
hear
it. The smooth hits of the 70s, 80s, 90s, and today.
Yeah, we are. We're checking in at 76 in Dana Point and 76 also in Brea.
SATC, Sex and the City.
Yeah.
This is Carlise with the weather. It's going to be exceptionally wet today because there are a lot of rain showers expected. But
yeah, we
guys, on the road, use protection because we don't want to hydroplane into each other. It's,
yes, there
you
are.
You got to be smart.
Yep, it's true.
It's them hydroplaning dicks. They're just.
Have you ever thought hydroplane?
Dicks, Richards, Eric's, Bob's. All of them. Yeah, it's.
Steve's.
I'm looking out for you. Like, I know that what you're seeing right now is just like you're heading towards it way too fast. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
The weather in Portland, Oregon, right now.
Yeah,
it's going. That's the description of a storm front coming, going. Leaving some sprinklings.
Leaving a few.
Have we started this? Is this going?
Yeah, this is the podcast now. Yes,
all right.
It is potentially.
We should have been funny for the last minute. What's the deal with that?
We were busy reporting the weather, Daryl. People need to know.
They need to know.
I had a teacher in high school. He was a Spanish teacher,
and he reported the weather.
No, but he said
he did it in Spanish.
He said that if anybody comes up to you and talks to you about the weather, you should automatically walk away.
Did he really?
Yeah, he straight up said, like, if they're going to just talk to you about the weather, you don't need to talk to this person. They're boring. They're stupid. They're not going to bring anything to your life. Just get out of it. Just walk away.
If somebody comes up and asks you about the sexual proclivities of your late uncle,
mm-hmm.
You gotta. That's your buddy.
Oh yeah, you gotta answer that fullheartedly. Yeah.
What I was gonna say was, what person who was concerned about the weather hurt that man? What was it that made him be like, no, none of them. They're not worth your time. They're not. I swear.
And
strange weather we're having, isn't it? Yeah, it is. Now you die. Oh, what? What? What is this? Or he's a flasher.
Why did you cheat on me, Charlize? Or whatever. Yeah.
He was also a teacher that said, oh, your name is Daryl. I'm going to call you Ted.
Well, that's not nice.
That's, what? Did that happen?
Yeah, because my last name was Williams, and he's like, I can remember Ted Williams easier. So your name
that
is Ted now.
That's so upsetting.
Yeah.
That's odd.
And through the whole semester, he called me Ted.
I had a teacher in community college who I fucking hated, and I hate him right off the bat, but people were like, he's cool. And then after like 2 weeks, they're like, he's not cool. He's shit. But he was taking roll and he questioned my name because my name is April Lotshaw, but my full name that shows up legally and stuff is April June Lotshaw.
Awesome.
That's what it is. No, it's not. It's terrible. And I don't even know if that was it. I think it was just like April. Like, he's like, your name's April or something. He like questioned me on it, and there were like two chicks in the class, and I was one of them out of like 20 people. And he's like, Zabril Lotshaw, like the month? And I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
And like then he was like, it sounds like a stage name. What? That's not real. Like, and I was like, are you asking me if I'm a stripper right now? Because that's what
Maybe
it feels like.
Like, you know, are you trying
He didn't.
To,
what department was he a guy doing?
It was
this
some
stuff
sort
in?
Of math thing. It was right. Like,
oh, well, come on then. He just didn't know how to interact
like,
with people at all.
No, especially
He's like,
women.
2 + 2 equals my passion. You have a name that is of a stage variety. April Lotshaw, it is a month and it is two words put together in a contraction.
Yeah.
Is this natural formation of names? I think not. Ask a question, I must.
See,
was he talking like Yoda?
I don't know.
I mean, he was, but I was like, maybe that's his own thing. I don't know. Like, I won't question it. He's a professor.
I'm assuming like only like.
And he was like, Grandmaster, call me. And I was like, okay, professor.
He was a racist Yoda.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
A racist Yoda.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hope so. Guys.
Hate sand people, I do. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Living in their deserts, sticks and banthas making the poodoo.
Dirtier than we are.
And the huts. Don't get me started on the huts.
There's a master race there is.
We, green power.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You don't know the power of the green side of the forest.
Yes, I love it. Oh, okay.
Yoda strikes back. There, that's episode 9. That's the only way they'll fix it.
We need
Yoda
to do
just
it.
Comes out of the Netherverse,
yes.
Brings Luke and Kenobi back, and they just, you know, they just reset the whole thing.
Yeah, they hate Jews the whole episode.
Wait, it's just going to start.
That
we're just
Watto.
Yeah.
We're just going to see a cutscene starting out just eugenics we need. It's going to be it.
Army of clones. Not that bad. It was.
Luke Skywalker looks like that for a reason.
I mean, it's... Yeah. Probably.
It's true. Guys, we've talked enough about Sex and the City, but let's talk about it some more.
Daryl, it might be too much talk about Sex and the City. How do you feel about it?
I feel like we probably should bring it up a little
bit. Oh, we're talking about Sex and the City?
Yeah.
Are we? Yeah, I think we are.
And if we
are... Star Wars stuff was a metaphor.
Yeah, it is.
For Sex and the City.
But we can bring it up later. But before we do that, we can say, April, you're such a Sex and the City podcast.
No, Daryl, you're such a Sex and the City podcast.
No, our guest, Kevin Bennett. He's such a Sex and the City podcast.
Am I? What does this mean?
It means that you're going to get indoctrinated into the world that is Sex and the City.
It means that like, you're our guest this week.
Oh, cool.
You're going to be a part of this world. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Doing very well.
Fabulous.
I'm enjoying myself.
What is your knowledge thus far in the greatest show ever?
Sex and the City.
All right. I don't I don't know much. I know it's about chicks.
Yeah.
One of them
you're not
is,
right or you're not wrong.
Sarah Jessica Parker.
It's true. It's true.
You're not right.
You're not right
or
in the
wrong.
Sense of it. I don't want to call them chicks. I want to call them independent women.
Oh, sorry.
Exactly.
It's about strong independent women.
Yeah.
It is.
My bad. My bad.
Stop being pejorative.
I apologize.
I wasn't making fun of you, Kevin. I was making fun of Daryl.
Yeah.
It's okay. You don't need to be defensive.
Gotcha. We're good. We're good.
I saved it.
They're not chicks anymore. They've progressed to chickens.
Yes.
I got it.
Yes,
I got
exactly.
It. They're hens.
No, I'm kidding.
Hens and roosters. Thank
That's
you
right.
Very
bunch
much.
Of hens and roosters clucking about in the dire. So I'll get.
In the fifth character of New York City.
I know it's
City.
About these upper class women.
Yes.
And they're having sex
mm-hmm.
in New York.
Yes.
Yes.
And one of them is Sarah Jessica Parker.
It's true. You are not wrong.
That's it.
That's as far as you go.
That's what I will submit to this
Got
hearing.
Do you have any other knowledge just from pop culture? Anything
I've
like
heard
that?
There's other names, or... and
right.
But it hasn't stuck.
I mean, you know, it's just not
throw
something...
out a name that you think might be in this.
Well, here's the deal. When I first heard of this show coming out, I was like, oh, it's like a sitcom porno.
Kind of.
That's
it.
Kinda...
Basically, is that?
Yeah.
Oh, well,
it's
I was
a single
like,
camera porno. Yes.
I was like, oh, okay. Well. Okay, this never really that's like okay. So go into an engineer's laboratory. You know, he likes the numbers. He likes crunching numbers and try and get him excited in tie dye. You know, unless you can link it to a fractal, you can link it to a fractal. Oh, if it were like Sex and the City and aliens, I mean, then you got something.
So you're
then
looking,
you got something.
So you're hoping this is like Sex and the City is a lot like X-Files in a way.
I mean, the truth is out there.
Yeah. So.
We're going to find a way to relate it to you where it makes you, like, emotionally invested in these women's love lives.
Oh, God in heaven.
Do you like SJP
That's the goal.
Outside of this realm? Have you
SJP?
Watched Sarah Jessica Parker?
She has a moniker.
Yeah. In our realm, we're close enough that we can call her SJP.
Yeah. Oh, all right. Oh, you know, as old SJP, as they say, I'm sorry, I can't say that. I'm not in that realm. I'm not
use her full
with
name.
Sarah Jessica
Only
Parker.
I can use it.
I appreciate the spirit that you said it with, but
right,
like,
right,
it
right,
is
right,
offensive.
Right. You don't know her as well as we do.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
As Carrie Bradshaw, exactly. Writer for the New York Star.
But do you know her body of work in any other realm? Or?
Well, I know her body in the work L.A. Story with Steve Martin.
That's true.
You know her body in the work, not her in the work, but
she was hot in that movie.
I believe
there were some areola sightings.
She was hot in that movie.
Yeah, you realize that she physically took...
That must be the case.
I would applaud that, and I would approve.
She was also in Footloose.
Oh, no, I knew Kevin Bacon was in Footloose, and I knew John Lithgow was in Footloose, and I watched 5 minutes of it, and
you're bored.
Wasn't into it.
Because it had no music.
No,
there was no
maybe,
dancing.
I don't know. I was like, oh, wait, this is going to be about dancing. I don't want to do that.
You were looking for Tremors or some sort of...
I was into aliens and sci-fi as a kid. I
Tremors 2. Thank you very much.
The one without Kevin Bacon.
Where they grow legs and they can walk.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, there's a step up.
But what about okay, so we got sci-fi and also SJP. What about Flight of the Navigator?
Oh, no, I am familiar with Flight of the Navigator.
So she was in that.
She was the kid?
She was the girl that, like, was running that robot that came into
that
room.
Oh, you're right. He was like that R2-D2 at NASA.
Right.
And the kid hitting the robot.
And she was all like, oh, yeah, hair's pink because I went to a Twisted Sister concert.
That's
Which is also fucking weird because she looks exactly like Dee Snider.
We have compared her to Dee Snider from like episode 1.
I want to say that movie solidified her like doppelganger type of thing because she was already like talking about being like Twisted Sister and then she ends up being... mentioning the Twisted Sister.
No, it just, it's like it's an inside joke.
Yeah.
For the close listeners to her career.
But yeah, she was in that movie. And that movie's bomb.
That movie. That was a good movie. I haven't seen that movie in years.
Yeah.
And you know who the voice of the thing is.
You're right, Paul Rubens.
Rubens. Have you seen the Cheech and Chong where he like does cocaine? And it's funny because for some reason, like Timothy Leary makes him apologize. And he's like, I'm sorry. And he walks out of frame, and then he comes back, and he's like, I'm not sorry, and he runs off. And it's very funny.
I have not seen that one.
That doesn't, you know, vindicate beating off in a theater. But it is a porn theater. But that's kind of gross, too, you
It's
know?
True. We've brought up...
It's the same as the Pee Wee Herman thing.
That's the thing. That's
the wrong kind of Sex in the City.
That's who Paul Rubens is.
The real wrong kind of Sex in the City is Harvey Weinstein.
Oh, yes.
That's very wrong. Like, this is, like, gray area Sex in the City.
Pee Wee Herman seems quaint. It's not even a
crime. No, he seems
fine. It's
not
even like, oh, you went into a theater with a bunch of like-minded men who wanted to get off too, and you just sat in your little corner and beat off.
It's harmless. If anyone
except for the custodian. The poor custodian.
The custodian.
That's what it was. Yeah. It was a custodian, and he was like,
he dropped
Paul Rubens, this is the last straw.
This is the last time you jerk off with a straw.
I'm not, get out of here.
I'm not going to get a foot infection of herpes from Paul Rubens.
Not on my watch, Paul.
Exactly. Should we do a cheers with our themed drink of the episode, which is Cosmos?
Delicious,
cheers. Aren't they wonderful?
This is the drink of the episode. I mean, we do stray from time to time, but of course, if you have listened to all of the episodes, you will realize we drink this the most.
Yes.
It's been a while since we've had Cosmos, and honestly, we just missed them.
We had to bring it back. We had a lot of cranberry juice and vodka, and we're like, what do we do? I guess we'll make Cosmos.
With all this, we could dump it down the sink. Because it's not true to the plot.
It's true.
Okay. We didn't do that.
So, since we've gotten your knowledge thus far, we like to give our guests a little bit of a backstory of like what happened last episode.
Oh, boy.
But instead of just
still my beating heart.
Right. But instead of just doing it like, okay, here's the facts, we do it in a game show setting.
Oh, boy.
So
we are going to quiz you. Also, I would like to point out that our guest this week, Kevin, he is interacting with Kitty, who is the unofficial third co-host of the podcast. I said it wrong. The official unofficial third co-host of the podcast.
Yes.
And you have your own cat.
I do. Mm-hmm. I'm a cat, man. Bibbidab.
What's your cat's name?
Stinky Pants. I call her Stinky for short. I try and call her Kitty now. Myself, because I didn't realize the power names had when I named her that. I thought I was just having fun. But, no, you got to name a cat a good name.
Do you think it's changed her?
I don't know, but I suspect it's possible.
Like changes the persona of the person that it takes?
Have you heard about that Japanese experiment? He's got some rice and some water or whatever.
Yes.
And he compliments the one. He does nothing to the other, and he cusses out the third. The one he compliments ferments. The one he cusses out putrefies.
Yes.
The one he does nothing with just very slowly does what stuff does.
The molecular structure looks more... It looks different based on what you bring emotionally to it.
Right. And it's, I think the effect may have a physical and a post-dimensional quotient to it that isn't immediately visible. But I suspect with pets and human beings, etc., the power in a name isn't necessarily definitive entirely, but it does have an influence incrementally.
It has an impact.
It's like in Freakonomics, they were talking about...
Orangelo and Lamangelo.
Yeah, the loser and winner.
Yeah, and loser and winner. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, there was a guy that named his kids Loser and Winner. Yeah.
Why would you do that?
I don't know.
That's so upsetting.
Now, who do you think ended up being the better kid?
Yeah.
Like, in the course of life, who would you guess?
None of them, because they all have crippling psychoses and, based on their names.
Yeah, and they were black.
And they can't have...
No, let's not say that.
And they can't have...
I meant they were...
Well, it's the truth, but what it was... So here's how it ended up. Winner was a shithead, and Loser was awesome.
Yes.
Loser became like a bastion of the community.
Yes.
Everybody,
he was like a police chief or something.
Yeah, yeah, and he went by Lou, and he had a great sense of humor.
Yeah, and Winner became like a felon and basically just was thinking that he was raised a winner. Like, oh, I should just be like handed success because of my name.
I knew it from when I was born because someone wrote it down on a piece of paper.
But then the guy named Loser is like, I'll show you. I ain't going to be a loser. Fuck that.
And he just and that's amazing, isn't it? So part of that is, you know, life's what you make of it. But at the same time, there's an influence there, psychologically.
I used to be that way with like
psychologically.
When I was
psychologically.
When I was growing up,
ukulele. Anyway.
Exactly. I have one in my car right now. If we want to add that to the instruments of the show, we can.
Fair enough.
I was. I remember when I was growing up, I hated being Daryl. I hated my name being Daryl, and I just wanted to be like another Mike or John or whatever. Just like fold into like the, hey, I'm not going to stand out. I'm not going to be the only person named this.
Right. You'll fit into the pack.
Right. But then obviously like when I became an adult, it's like, no, I like being different.
Right.
I don't want to be another John or a Mike or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you like being called Kevin?
I don't mind. But whatever. Kevin, Kev, French, whatever. I don't really mind.
Bruce.
Well, yeah.
Daryl.
Shithead.
Clarence.
Doesn't matter, yeah. People call me whatever. I'm not too worried about that,
Darice.
I mean, now, the truth is, I'm sure what people call me do have an effect on me to some degree, but I've decided not to worry about that because there's other stuff to worry about.
It's true. Okay.
Anyway, it's true. So let's get into the game show.
Oh, boy.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I'm cock-lock ready to rock.
Take a deep breath for me right now. Take a deep breath and a deep swig of your Cosmo.
Breathe deep, the gathering gloom.
And envision.
Watch lights fade from every room.
Fucking, what is it?
Bed set to people look back and lament. Another day's useless energy is spent.
Knights in White Satin.
By Moody Blues.
Moody Blues.
Yeah.
Fucking A. Okay.
And which is an illusion.
Anyway.
Yep. Yep. First question. What stand-up comedian guest stars as Doug, the... Can't close the door when he shits guy. I'll give you a multiple choice because obviously.
Please do, because I got nothing.
No.
I've got nothing on that.
Our last
Louis
guest.
Louis C.K.?
No, we're going to think late 90s,
okay?
Or early 2000s. That's when this first.
It's like 99. This was like 2000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So our last guest, Anne Flagg, ran the board because she's a huge Sex and the City fan, and she knew all of these answers before she even heard the multiple choice.
And we were like, we're not prepared for that.
Well, I have no experience with Sex and the City, so I will be using my brain to deduce possible.
You have a 1 in 4 chance of getting this right.
I have a 25% chance.
And everything else is up to you.
Okay,
here we go.
How much can you deduce, Sherlock?
I'll do my best.
Here is the 4 possibilities. It's either Jim Gaffigan, Patton Oswalt, Brian Posehn, or Drew Carey. Think about
Brian Posehn.
Oh, you're going to go for Brian Posehn. Okay, that is a good thought, but it is wrong.
It's the little guy, isn't it?
It is Jim Gaffigan.
What?
Jim Gaffigan was on the episode of Sex and the City.
What? Last episode, he was on the episode, and he did not shut the door when he took a shit, and that was a deal breaker for Miranda. She decided to not date him any longer because he could not close the door when he took deuces.
There we go. Okay, next question.
Next question we have is... Carrie starts dating a sexy hipster musician named Ray. What instrument does he play? It's either drums, bass guitar, trumpet, or accordion. What could it be?
Trumpet.
Trumpet. You're going with trumpet? And unfortunately, again, that is not correct. It is bass guitar. He's playing the stand-up bass. Yeah.
No, I like it. I like you going against type. That was on purpose.
I thought you were going to guess accordion.
Delightfully so.
You're not going to do it. No.
You're not going to take the curveball.
My deductions have not yet given me a right answer, but I believe in the future. Two out of... All right, let's see.
But wouldn't it be amazing if he was in a jazz group playing accordion?
Yes, it would.
Okay, next question. Charlotte gives her husband Trey a blowjob in what public establishment? A church, a movie theater, a Home Depot, or the Statue of Liberty?
Movie theater.
Whoa, you are correct, sir.
Whoa!
Hell yeah, there you go. You got a point.
1 out of 3 so far.
That's not bad, frankly, considering our record.
And it's crazy that Charlotte gave a blowjob at all.
It has been an issue in the past.
Mm-hmm. Wait, so one of these gals is married?
Yes, by a guy named Trey. No.
No?
You are kind of coming in late, but they've had some sexual problems through day one.
She doesn't cheat, though. That's the thing, is that she's trying to solve the problems and it's just been a big roadblock in their relationship.
He's had a weird libido when it comes to sex.
Yep. Uh-huh.
And she's trying to jumpstart it in any way she can, and they found out that it works when they're in public places, but not in the bedroom.
I think the CIA designed this show.
Hmm.
Let's hope so. Daryl,
or the Illuminati.
Let's finish this up.
Okay, next question. Samantha meets a sexy lesbian named Maria at what type of social gathering? An art gallery opening, a masquerade ball, a fundraiser for kittens with cancer, or a birthday party for Donald Trump?
I gotta go with the Trump on that one.
A birthday party for Donald Trump. It is close. She does know Donald Trump, but it was not that. It was actually an art gallery opening.
Suck it.
Although we have...
Doesn't make the most sense.
We have had Donald Trump as a guest on the show before. On our show,
was
but on Sex
guest?
In the City.
No, he was on Sex in the City. Wow. He is in that universe.
Oh my gosh. He exists on the show.
Yes.
Like, does he have a recurring role?
He's been in it once before, and I believe he shows up
I think he's going to be twice.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he's also alluded to. They've brought him up in conversation.
Okay. Yeah, he just is just talking to, like, an older gentleman. He's like... I'll be at my place in Trump Tower.
Right.
And then leaves.
He named then Trump Tower and then basically walked away.
that's what it is. But he exists in the world of Sex and the City.
Yep.
That's
Samantha
funny.
Tried to date him
it's
and
amazing.
He turned her down.
That's hilarious.
Okay, last question. Mr. Big's date, Shaw, the Y is silent, offers what type of drug to carry while going to the bathroom? It's either cocaine, ecstasy, marijuana, or peyote?
Peyote.
Whoa, quickly with the peyote, and it's quickly a wrong answer.
Son of the bitch.
We're in the early 2000s / could be 80s. We're doing cocaine in this bathroom, bitch.
Too bad. Peyote would have been a better
story. Real.
Yeah.
I found my sexual spirit animal in the city.
No shit. But also, I feel like, you know, if you're going to be doing peyote in the bathroom, it's really not going to kick in until after you get out of the bathroom. It's
true.
That's the idea.
Way after you get
out
of the
bathroom. You make a good point.
It's not
cocaine
that.
Made the most sense, but
yeah.
Peyote was the most fun choice on the
it's
board.
True. It's true.
Now
that's
that I've
true.
Lost the test, what happens to me?
Okay, you got 1 out of 4 correct. That's obviously pretty par for the course when it comes to people that have never watched this show. But that's part of the fun is because we like to catch you up in a game show way instead of just saying, here's the facts, now watch the show.
Snoochie Boochies.
Yeah, so now you're obviously well up to date on all the characters and you know everything about this show, right?
Yeah.
If you were...
We will cover it off air.
Okay. So, guys, we would normally break to another great ad for Cynthia Nixon because she's running for governor of New York.
And because she should own New York. Probably.
Exactly. But we're not going to do that. This episode, we have a special deleted scene that we just found on the... We scoured the internet for days on end, and we found this one director's commentary for this episode. So, guys, it wasn't normally on the DVD, but we found this.
Please enjoy a look behind the scenes of Sex and the City. For, like, the actual director's commentary is really exciting for us, and we'll see you at the end of that. Thank
yeah.
you.
Later that night, inspired by Samantha's willingness to explore new territory, Charlotte felt it was time to conquer some old territory. The bed, where she and Trey had so much trouble as man and wife.
Here we are. At the same place where they started.
Should we have a glass of wine first?
I'm fine, unless you...
No, I'm okay.
Alcohol is a numbing agent that they both feel the need for, but why? The idea of being man and wife is a sham.
Just because she was on strike didn't mean she had to do without.
Miranda is seeking...
That's how Miranda discovered the perfect
artificial joy.
John Stewart and
Chocolate. And in doing so, she is doing what she must as a human animal.
That night, Charlotte and Trey enjoyed a sweet ending to their
evening
as well.
But she's experiencing exactly what Charlotte and Trey are.
It was almost mind-blowing.
Because they...
Charlotte was relieved. Now that they had fixed their problem in the bedroom, she was ready to move back into
they
the other rooms as well.
They experience this as a dream that's leading towards.
I'm thinking I've never seen my John Thomas so hard. I swear, Charlotte, at times I felt like it was going to rocket
right
off.
And as Trey makes clear, it is purely animalistic.
I don't know.
And anything else is... idealism is unrealistic. We are all just a collection of sensations. That is how we experience the world. That is why he says go again, because that is all there is to him in his soul.
We don't have a problem. 3, 2, 1.
She goes along with it because she will take any sense of reality over the numbness of existing in this universe. That's what I had in mind when I directed this.
All my limes haven't given me disease, and I'm pleased as pie. That's the key.
There you go.
The lime pie. Key lime pie. That's the joke I've made.
I'm not sure if there's any other type of lime pie, but
oh, you'd
I like
be surprised.
It.
I don't know. There's some weird, some crazy people. I'm just gonna put some limes in there. Fuck it, nobody gonna eat it. I don't like the. It's an amazingly effective tactic.
Yeah, whatever doesn't work, just keep
you
quiet.
Know what? That didn't work. Keep on.
You found up an original way to do waka waka.
I did. I really did. I did. That's pretty much the truth. And I've been really honing it the last couple of months out here. I'm doing a lot more crowd work, you know. I'm deriving, derouting, deriting, derising, diverting from my primary material.
Ooh, you're branching out.
Yes. Yes, I am branching out.
So, French accent, how familiar are you with Sex and the City?
Sacre bleu. Well, whenever I have had sex, it has been in the city.
That makes sense.
Oh, are we talking about something? Are we talking about the television show I just watched?
Yes.
Yes, I have seen it for the first time. Bitches be crazy. All right. I'm kind of joking. I'm playing.
I like that you say kind of. It retains the honesty.
I feel you. Guys have weird dick problems. This is true. This is true.
It's accurate. What were your first impressions of seeing this episode of this very iconic...
Poor Craig Bierko! He's great at sex. He's always cooking. He's playing music. He's being as romantic as he can. Sarah Jessica Parker's just like, oh, I don't think I want this because it's too much because I'm not center of attention. He's going to have sex with me and then go play a banjo. I should be front and center all the time. I am in my pussy demand. No, it's too much for me. I don't like jazz. Jazz sucks. And that's my impression. I was like, what the fuck are you doing? What is the guy gotta do? What's he gotta do? What's he's gotta do? You're seeking a unicorn, you're crazy. This is why she's the rider of this column. She just keeps screwing the perfect guy over and then disappearing on him, and she's gonna be old and alone on the street when she's in her 50s with no guy and no column, because where's the sex when there's no sex in this? It's a rough state of affairs. I'm just saying there is a progression here. What's her name again? Sarah Jessica Parker?
Carrie.
SJP.
Carrie on S. Anyway, I feel bad for her for the future.
No, I feel like even though you've only watched one episode of this, you have gotten the very essence of
you understand so much of what the show is already.
Sacre bleu!
We're in the fourth season now, and you got it like 15 minutes into an episode.
It's a wonder I'm single. How has this happened to me? I get it, ladies. I don't know. I don't know if I really get it. I don't know. I can see why females very much like it.
So out of all the four characters, French, what character are you most attracted to?
Oh. I'm thinking about for a moment here. This is a hard question to answer. I mean, the redhead's kind of persnickety.
Miranda.
She's mad. The blonde, insufferable. The brunette got really mad because she hasn't told the guy anything. She's told him nothing about what's going on in her inner monologue. And she's mad at his dick all of a sudden. He's just, all right. I was going to ask. I thought we were there. All right, man. Okay. I'm Kyle MacLachlan. And then
accent.
The blondie's cute. I like the blondie, but she's going to fuck you. But then you're fucked. I mean, I don't know. I might eat some chocolate myself. I might just go start eating chocolate
That's
and watching
true.
TV.
That's true. French accent. Can I just put out there, just because this is your first episode, we introduced you with the quiz, but you're talking about the brunette, Charlotte. And I would like to pose a little bit of backstory to that, because I think a lot of people, like, this is a very strange...
I'm playing
Thank
the
you.
Music.
Do you have, like, a tune for, like, we're weird and we don't match well? Because that would be perfect.
I was trying to do Fantasia.
No. That was perfect. So Charlotte married her husband after they dated for, like, half a year or something. And they never had sex before marriage because she thought it would be more romantic that way. Which, problematic in and of itself. But point being, they got married and you saw her, she's fucking... hot as shit, and
she's all right looking. See, here's the thing: a beautiful woman will be offset by an angry pair of eyes. right.
Eyes that would kill you. Let's get into some details of this episode.
All right, details of the episode.
Daryl, let's get into those details.
Okay, this episode was season 4, episode 4. It was entitled...
Something with the word sex in it, I imagine.
Yeah, probably.
That seems right.
I'm a good deducer.
It was called, What's Sex Got to Do With It?
What's Sex Got to Do With It? All right.
Yes.
There we go.
And it was first aired on June 17th. 2001.
Wow, that is 17 years old.
French accent, what were you up to in 2001?
What date was it?
June 17th, specifically.
June 17th, 2001. I was probably riding my bicycle with some candies.
Yeah,
and
some chocolates.
And chasing frogs. Frog Eat Frog World, where I'm from.
French accent, how old would you have been in that year? At that point,
14, going on 15, I believe. Let me see. I think I was ending my first sophomore year of high school. Actually, this is a true story here. I had to go that year, 2001, in September. I had to go to get my first school pictures, and I was growing facial hair for the first time. And I had it. It was very ugly, though. It wasn't. So I wanted to shave it. You see. And my sideburn was uneven, so I shaved this one, and that was uneven. So I shaved this. I shaved them off all the way up to my temple. And for the rest of the year, they called me sideburns.
That's
awesome. It's a true story. That's a true story right there.
I remember when I was in high school, I had light eyebrows, and for my senior picture, my mom suggested that I just touch it up a little bit. You know, like, just fill it in with some eyebrow liner, like, you know, just... Because you don't want to look like you don't have any eyebrows for your school picture. And then she also brought up the, like, you don't want the kids to make fun of you for not having eyebrows.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was like, oh, yeah, that sounds right, Mom. Like, you make a lot of sense.
Thanks, Mom, for helping save my self-esteem.
Right.
With makeup.
But then clearly, as soon as I took the picture and all the kids saw it, they're like, are you wearing makeup? Now we're going to make fun of you twice as hard for wearing makeup.
Thanks, Mom.
That's way worse.
You know, you had my best interest at heart all along. And I still wear those eyebrow makeup to this day. You know,
I've noticed you don't... I've never seen you without like you're just your shadow in, you know, like the powder.
Yeah.
Like you used to do the liner and it was really harsh. And I noticed over the last like year that we've done this podcast, you've switched to the powder so that you can highlight underneath the eyebrow. But it's just as clear and blatant.
I'm glad that you noticed, but also never brought it up until this moment.
I was always unsure how to.
Well, now you can at any time just be like, dude, your eyebrow's not on fleek.
That you know what? I wish I'd had that bravery before. I wish I'd been a better friend to you.
You should have been.
Oh, you guys are all right. I got friends who have syphilis, and they got all kinds of weird-looking things on them.
Do you ever just be like, hey, maybe you shouldn't wear short shorts or something?
I play an accordion on stage with an eye patch and live in an RV with a cat. I will not advise anybody on their life decisions. Well, I might sometimes. But generally, like I have not... You know, I'm pretty out there myself. If I start going around giving people fashion advice, I think I'm in trouble with God, you know?
Right, right.
But like,
because you have an eye patch, too.
I do. Yeah. I can't even see. I have no depth perception.
Yeah.
That happened to me once.
Really?
That's a longer... That's actually
somebody
true.
Told you to put on some shorts.
How'd you...
Sure, yes.
How'd you lose your eye or, you know, what's with the patch?
And... Do you think it makes
It was a long
you,
time ago. Yes, go ahead.
I'm just saying as an addendum to the question, do you think it makes you more of a Carrie, a Charlotte, a Miranda, a Samantha? What do you consider yourself based on this experience?
A Kyle MacLachlan?
Oh, you feel like you're more like Kyle MacLachlan.
I don't know. I don't know if I can see it.
Is it because you like to have sex in public?
Is it because you have erectile dysfunction?
No, now I have to think back on the episode for a moment. Well, you see, I think sex is a fun, sexy time, but I don't view it as a
yeah, it is.
Commodity like
I
chocolate.
Don't.
And I'm not going to, you know, go round on round with some hot jazz girl and then give her the boot because she's ADD. Meanwhile, I'm not going to choke on a cock because I've got the midlife crisis, so that rules out those three.
That's true.
And you know, because she was, you know, flicking the bean. Well, you know, the analog for a man would be the big bean, and it'd be a beanstalk, wouldn't it? That's disgusting. And
so you're Jack.
His wife, you know, is she's wanting to do the fun. Sexy fun time, but all the time she's moaning and whatnot. She's like, I have to please the penis. I have to. She's thinking about all and not sharing any of it, and then getting pissed when he's just like, yeah, that was fun. I'll do it again. That was a good time. And that's how I'm thinking. I'm like, yeah, I'm having a good time. You know, what's the dilemma? And she's like, I'm blowing my mind about your dick.
That's
and it's her idea
on.
To wait in the first place, you know. And so he's just like, well, I love you. Well, what's up? You know, and that's, I feel like, What the deuce is going on with you people? So I don't know. I think I would have to be the Kyle MacLachlan because I'm the weird guy and I like the sex. And, you know, if it's...
That is weird for a man. I do
to
have to
like
say
sex.
That. Yep.
Yeah, isn't it weird to like
you
sex?
Say you're the weird guy for that. And I'm like, yep, right away. I'm not sure I understand your point of view, but I support it.
Fair enough. Well, I am French. We've got different views on sex.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, don't do anything with your armpits. I don't care, I'm drunk, I'm gonna fuck somebody else tomorrow. That's fine, we're French. Yeah, venereal disease is like blue cheese. It's a flavor, gives it some tang.
It's everywhere, it's everywhere.
Yeah, it's everywhere, it's on the salads. You know.
It's good on a cup, yeah.
It's good, yeah, you know, you can heat it in the microwave. No, I don't really have these personal beliefs on the sexuality. However, they're quite funny.
But do you... not have these beliefs on the personal sexuality.
Actually, I'm the type... Well, now where are we going to go? Are we talking to the French accent or are we talking to his manager?
That okay.
Yeah, we can bring in the
manager
again.
I think that we should make the distinction that our opening comments were to French accent's manager.
Yes. His name is Kevin Bennett.
Yeah, Kevin Bennett.
He's a different
Bennett.
Person than I am.
Like, clearly.
Yes, he does not play the accordion.
And he doesn't have an eye patch.
He does not have an eye patch.
Or
ballet.
Or poor depth perception.
Right, he's got some depth to him. I've got
he's
one
got
eye.
He's got 20/20 vision
I
from
do.
What he showed me of his, like, charts. Not...
Absolutely not. Were you watching when I showed you with his charts, my charts? You know what? I feel your pain. Picking up what you're putting down.
Those are very confusing sentences, but I know
word
that
salad.
I know that English is your second language.
That's correct.
So I see what you're trying
it's
to get
nice
at.
It's a nice caveat. Works.
point being, though, so we kind of had to have... Daryl, you understand that we kind of had to have ourselves vetted by the manager before he was willing to put the client on the show.
He was like, let's look at this. I want to make sure that the show is worth his time.
It's legitimate.
Yeah, exactly.
And you gotta look into these things, right?
But no, exactly.
Why not? Let's just have, like, Kevin come back and just let's talk to him and see how well his client is, like, you know, worked up to his expectations or not.
All right,
maybe he hasn't. Maybe he has to talk to you.
I'll see if I can get him to talk about his sex life. Mm-hmm. All right, hey, Kevin, hey, Kevin, get in here. Get in here.
I would also just like to take a brief moment to say that we do have Kevin's client. French accent as our current guest because we have not properly introduced him.
No.
But it was supposed to be a big reveal, and we just had a little bit more management issues and whatnot than we expected. But they're both here, so we are going to treat them both as our guests.
Say hello. Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up, Kevin?
Chilling, hanging out, being groovy.
You know? So you feeling good in the green room over there?
Oh, yeah. It's very green. It's very roomy.
And you watched the episode too, right?
I did. Whatever my client does, I do as well.
Okay, cool. You guys are like simpatico?
Yeah, very much.
So you play the accordion?
No, but I advise him on how best to play it, techniques,
like what songs
theory.
Are cool or not.
Yeah, well, you know, what songs, what sort of emotional aura to evince in the various arpeggios, which are
Kevin.
Sparsely...
Nobody,
upon the keys.
Nobody, including me, understands what any of that means.
I'm just searching for as many adjectives as I can.
I see that. I've also written essays, but point being, it's so your client French accent. He's been great
he's
so far.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. He misbehaves sometimes.
Love
him. He got kicked out of a show last night. Actually,
he doesn't sound like he loves Sex in the City that much.
I mean, you know, French accents. He's got his own sexual hangups.
Yeah.
I mean, have you ever tried to have sex while wearing an accordion? That's a weird thing.
Sounds like
it's a weird thing. I mean, it breaks up your rhythm. There's a lot of goofy sounds and there's laughing and you know sometimes where's the laughing going? You know, that's embarrassing. Mm-hmm. And of course, without depth perception, the wrong hole. You know, it's not good for anybody. He nearly surprised why anybody has a pet koala, but
that does sound like maybe a crime.
Yeah, especially since definitely. Koalas have syphilis. Yeah, it's terrible.
I have heard that, but my question is: you are his manager. Do you feel a connection to one of the girls on Sex and the City?
Yeah.
Do you feel that you're one of the four girls?
Because I feel like I'm one of the four girls.
He didn't at all, but you have a different perspective. I'd like to hear yours.
He felt like he was Kyle MacLachlan.
Yeah. That seems like something he'd do. It does seem like something he would do.
But what do you feel like?
Yeah, that's a tough question. It's a tough, it's a deep philosophical question.
Four
choices. I almost feel like each of those four girls is a different personality trait that many women feel defines their own egress through the sexual landscape in modernity. And I think the psyche of the four itself is something that I find difficult to attach my mind to and properly understand in the light that's necessary to have a connection with these females. So I understand where French is coming from. I think I would be the chocolate. I get eaten and loved as a guilty pleasure and then thrown in the trash and sprayed with soap. That would define my love life, I believe.
So you would be the chocolate cake
I would
of Miranda.
Be the chocolate cake Miranda
in,
ate.
In that
and it's
way,
always a girl like Miranda, too. Mm-hmm. She gets me somehow. She gets me with that chocolate. And I'm like, I'll be your cake, baby. And she's like, oh, I really shouldn't. I really should. Oh, but I'll have a little bit. Oh, I really. Oh, this is. But I should. Oh, this is so good. This is so good. You know what? I can't keep doing this. Get
this
out of my life
naughty.
And clean your life up. I'm not gonna come back to you. And this soap. I'm never coming back to you. I'm just making sure I never come back. I said that's seriously what happens to. That's most. I think that's a very good metaphor for my love life. I get. I mean, because the women will just. Oh, they're after me, and then they're like, no, he's no good for me, and I'm like, why? I just want him. I'm just milk and eggs and chocolate, you know. I'm good stuff. And they're like, no, you're gonna make me fat. I don't mean to. I'm not trying to.
Have you made a lot of women fat?
Yeah, I guess so.
Is that a problem you have, or is that
the
something?
Lesbians? They just get fat. I'm chocolate, baby. No,
I get it.
I don't know. If you've heard me, and that's the thing, and that's why French accent does the perform, and I do the managing.
Right,
because I'm a very
naturally.
Analytical kind of person, and I'm very, you know, I see the reality in the world, and it's difficult. Like an autistic person, I'm not that way, but I fixate on things. I have, you know, and once I see it, I can't unsee it, and I have to explain it, and blah, 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 blah. It's a very OCD sort of thing. And
on stage, it doesn't quite have the funny because I want to stick to it. I just want to stick to that. Off stage, it's different. You can have conversations. French accent allows me to just go topic to topic and find something, and I keep trying to find stuff that I can go off on a tangent on. And so, you know, when I'm writing for him and he's going out there and killing it, really makes it work. Anyhow, Sex and the City, I see why he's Kyle MacLachlan, and I'm the chocolate. I'm yeah. definitely the chocolate.
No, I do too. Like, I think that's a real good analogy. I love it. I love it.
Should we talk about Carrie a little bit?
Yes, obviously should, because Carrie is dating the jazz man.
Ray.
This might be a good time to tell you, I don't like jazz.
Why would you say something like that?
I don't know, you can't follow it, and there's no melody, and it's just like, it's all over the place.
Carrie, you gotta stop trying to make it be something else and appreciate it for what it is. Damn, I wish I had my bass. Come here. You be the bass.
Nope. Don't I have to be in a musician's union or something? Do you play all those instruments?
Play's a little strong. I learn a few notes, I get bored, I move on. Listen to the bass. The beauty of jazz is that it can go anywhere. It can go from here to here to here.
It was right about that time that I started to appreciate a little type of music we call jazz.
Ray, and she is loving how spontaneous he is. And she is loving how good their sex is. But that's what leads to her, like, I wonder of the week, which is she has a relationship where they have amazing sex, but they don't really know each other that well. They don't have a solid foundation. And then, you know, we also have the other characters who have, we have Samantha, who has a great foundation, but has never had sex with her love interest. And it's that thing. It's just like, do you have to choose one or the other? Or does it have to lean one way or another? Like, is it too much to expect to have both?
Right. Is it also problematic?
French,
to...
you want to feel this one? I don't know if it would be appropriate for me to feel this one. I mean, the French mores on sexuality. You know, you can't have both. It's just two women, you know. It's all you got to do. I don't know if I would be, if I should really weigh in here, you know. It's like bitches would be tripping, you know. Just get another guy. What do you?
Yeah, that's why, you know, I got to say I disagree with that, French. Personally, I think you can do. What's wrong with what I said? Just hold on a sec. I think you can have it both ways, but it's uncomfortable. Because it's complicated.
Oh, okay. All right, Professor Single Pants with the RV. Yeah, listen, French, I get you gigs. All right?
French accent. I'm sorry. Could you put the chair down? I don't think we need to resort to physical violence.
Yeah. I was doing a workout routine.
Yeah, he likes to. He's always working his muscles there. Thanks, French. Mm-hmm. Just. That's okay. We don't need. Okay. All right. So anyway, where were we on that?
We were talking about sex and foundations and relationships.
Oh, yeah, foundations and relationships are good. Oh, yeah, having good sex and good love is totally possible. But you can't get to know somebody in a day or a month or 6 months or a year, really. And
unless you're on a
reality
show.
Even if you do get to know them, as it turns out, everybody is rough around the edges. Nobody isn't. It's just we're all rough around the edges in different ways. I'm falling into Jeff Goldblum here. Mm-hmm. I don't know why it's a cadence.
No, I like it. Keep going.
Somehow. So we're all rough around the edges. We bump into each other and, you know, smooth off the rough edges until we're all smooth stones, and that takes time. So the point is you have to go into a relationship.
Like a rock tumbler.
Yeah, knowing it's not going to be something that is in the immediate sense. It's a long-term endeavor. And if you know it's a long-term endeavor, then you're more careful in who you choose. And if you're more careful in who you choose, then the psychological aspect of it is less likely to get muddled up in phobias and fears and memories and discomfort and all the self-conscious things that throw the boner off, you see. And when the boner is thrown off, doesn't matter how many quaaludes you put into the jello pudding, nobody's going to be violated tonight.
Bill Cosby, get out of here.
What are you doing in here, Bill? I've been managing him, too, ever
you're
since
not,
the rape.
You
he's getting all these
you're...
Z-list gigs in Wyoming. The guy's,
hey,
he's killing
you know
it.
You're not welcome on this podcast anymore,
well, I'll give
Mr.
You a,
Cosby.
I'll give you a pudding pop.
But, so, you know, if you're going to have a relationship and good sex,
If any of you see Bill Cosby, just chase him away.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's about being it's secure normal. And comfortable as a couple.
It's also about just showing dominance over Bill Cosby. Mm. No, I'm sorry. Well, like the couple. Let's get back to it.
Right. It's about as a couple, you have to know you're both going to grow. The dynamic of the relationship will change, and you're looking at it for the long term. And I think the people who are talking about not having sex before marriage may be onto something, because you are able to get your psychological dynamic. Now, in the show here, it was a whole different thing. She's doing it for a different reason. She's doing it for the wrong reason. She's like, let's hold off because it'll be more romantic. Maybe you should hold off because you need to get to know one another and who you are better, and you need to know your families and what your interests are in life and whether or not you really want to be with this person. Because even a basic relationship is going to be 5 years or so. I mean, why not look for the next 30? It's going to save you a bunch of trouble. Why not look for the whole hog? So that's right. My perspective. I don't really
date. She
definitely
went in early.
Yeah. She's 25 or something?
Nah, Charlotte's like probably early
Charlotte,
30s.
She's young 30s. Yeah.
All right, well.
But also, character. Like, she only knew Trey for a couple of months. And, yeah they got married.
I'd say, you know, I think those things can work, but for that to work, before the mutual people meet and have a whirlwind romance over a few months, they've got to be to some degree psychologically prepared for something wherein they're going to have troubles and they're going to stick by it anyway.
Right.
And that's the thing. Everybody goes into marriage thinking as soon as it's going to happen, all my troubles are going to be solved and I'm going to be fulfilled in this person and we're both going to be fulfilled in one another. And that can't ever happen in the best marriage. So why do you expect it to happen in yours? You got to know you're both going to have problems and love each other despite them. And then once that happens, you're in a different phase in your relationship. You're that comfortable couple who's been around 20 years and you're just totally secure in one another. And sex is no thing. It's fun. But you know what? It's great, but you've also got grandkids. Sex is great, but you're also in an RV traveling around the south of the coast or going to Guatemala on a honeymoon, you know. So these things are great, but you're able to – it doesn't dominate you. It's a feature you can – it's like a course in a meal. You don't have to have dessert the whole time. You can have an appetizer, a salad, a main course, dessert, an aperitif, and some wine after. Whereas before, you were always trying to have dessert, and it was making you unhealthy. Now, since you've got the full course meal, you can appreciate each portion of it completely.
There you go.
Why we don't let him talk on stage. What the fuck was that? That made no sense. That was some crazy psychobabble I've never heard. This guy stays, he's the bean counter, and he gets me gigs, all right? That's all there is to it.
I enjoyed how much logical sense it made and also how long it took for him to say it. No, don't be. It's not you.
That's the issue. That's the issue with my manager. You know, he's got stuff to say, but you gotta write your will and testament before he gets to the end of a sentence.
He's long-winded, just like your accordion.
You are doing it on as well. I see what you did there.
There we go. Okay.
So, should we talk about Miranda?
That's exactly what I was thinking about. Miranda, who is a... like, just letting go of dating and men, because she's like, I've been on too many bad dates recently. I can't put up with it. Like, of course, I still have sexual urges, but I'm just not gonna... I just need a break.
Meanwhile, Miranda, still off sex and on chocolate, couldn't bring herself to order the 7 eclairs she really wanted. So she asked for just one.
One cake, please. Which do you recommend?
I'd go with the Louvre. Monsieur Payard's signature chocolate cake.
Wow. Sold.
Okay, that'll be $74.50.
As in $74.50?
Yes.
Miranda decided she didn't need a cake that badly, especially when she could make one for under $5. Every once in a while, a girl has to indulge herself.
It's all been shitty, and I think we've all had that, where it's you've been going on a lot of, like, dates with new people, and it's just been, like, one shitty date after the other where you're like, why am I really doing this at a certain point?
It's like the opposite of incel. It's like you're, instead of an
involuntary,
it's a voluntary celibacy instead of an involuntary celibacy.
You're still going to shoot someone.
Well, mm-hmm. I think, can I field this one?
Yeah.
All right. I see that. I get it. I don't think it's healthy to totally stifle your sexuality, but at the same time, it's sort of like, you know, if you're a good marksman, you know, and you're tired of this game, it's not easy enough.
Just the bullshit. Yeah, basically.
You shouldn't be going. If you're a good aimer, a good shooter, just because you're good at that, and deer and bears aren't doing it for you, doesn't mean you should start hunting man. You know, sometimes there's a if you're really good at sex and all this stuff, and you're just so good, and nothing's pleasing you, well, maybe pull out for a second and stand back and think about it. Maybe give yourself a break and get some perspective.
Kevin, manager of French accent. Did you find her character's dilemma in this episode relatable? Did you find it, like, human?
I think it was logical. I think it was a little bit over the top and a little bit kitschy in terms of humor.
It was.
I enjoyed it enough to, it was, all right, she's having trouble with the chocolate. Throw it away. And then, you know, we've all kind of been there.
I don't know if I've ever ate out of the trash can.
I've eaten out of trash cans.
Really?
You haven't?
Yeah.
No?
Well, I mean, if I know the trash can.
It's my trash can, but it's
you've eaten out of the trash can? Listen, guy, I get you gigs, all right?
Fiery temper on that one.
Yeah, he's a weirdo. He's a weirdo. So you got to get it out on stage.
That's talent. That's talent, though. You put up with a lot for talent.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I do what I can. I do what I can.
How long has French accent gone without sex?
Or eating out of a trash can.
Yeah.
Listen, don't you tell him the truth about this. Well, I mean, you know, it's kind of part of our brand to be honest. Listen, you do that at your own peril, mister. I think I'm going to be perilous. Oh, geez, sit on an egg. I'm going to go have a cigarette. All right, so he, French accent, since I've known him, I haven't seen him get any.
What?
Yeah, French accent, he doesn't get any.
Really?
For whatever reason, yeah.
Like,
I mean, I've had a few
really
drunken endeavors myself on Tinder and felt bad about it, but French accent, he doesn't.
You said that you've been managing him for years.
Yeah, since 2011.
And you haven't seen him hook up with any ladies.
No, that accordion is
or
a hard
men.
Thing. No, it's,
no men
it's,
either, yeah.
It's a hard thing to manage in the bedroom. It's just,
that's
I mean.
That's true.
And have you seen that episode of, I don't know, it's got Bobcat Goldthwait on it, and it's got that insult comic that, you know what I'm talking about? That old guy. He really liked to
Don
insult.
Rickles?
Yeah, it's got Don Rickles in it. Mm-hmm. And Don Rickles is a ventriloquist, and Bobcat Goldthwait wants to be like Don Rickles, a ventriloquist. And so he gets this dummy, but the dummy's cursed with like an alien demon thing, and his hand turns into like a little creature, and it's only hiding in a dummy, but his hand is really autonomous and talking. And
what is this again?
I don't know. I think it's like Tales from the Crypt or something.
Oh, yeah, that sounds
right. I can't remember.
Right.
It's something,
that sounds
more it's an episode like that. And anyway, you know, I imagine that's not good for sex. And French accent's got that relationship with his accordion. It's melded to his chest like some kind of beast out of a Day in a Cronenberg
novel.
What about
it's not sexy.
Can I ask a question? You're a manager, so you see everything. But
I
you're
wish
also
I didn't.
No, I'm sure you do wish that, and I'm sorry. But when we do have an on-site therapist... Who you can speak
well,
to,
you know,
Dr. Spichelnik.
Does your therapist have a therapist? Because I don't know, after French accents had a shot at him, I don't know if he'll be able to.
I've never asked him. He seems very volatile, but we just, we do have one. But point being, though, from the outside, would you say that French accents, accordion, which of the four ladies of Sex and the City would you say French accents, accordion is?
Well, French accents, accordion is definitely the lesbo.
It's
got
the
fingers
Samantha.
Tickling those keys on either side, and there's 10 of them.
It's
10 little dicks just tickling
sex,
that vaginal accordion.
Sex crazy Samantha. She's the quote unquote sluttiest one.
Yeah, I've seen that. Everybody wants to play that accordion in French accents, and that's the thing they don't realize. It's attached to his chest, so you know he lets him play it. He enjoys
right.
it. He doesn't get any, but that accordion. I think that's how he gets by. I really do. You know.
I love how Samantha in this episode calls it a pucetta. As well.
No, she goes real hard mm-hmm. on the whole Portuguese lesbian thing.
Yes.
And all her friends are like, we're trying to be supportive. And she's like, I'm a lesbian now. And they're like, we don't want to hear about it. And she's like, let me tell you about the vagina. And they're like, don't. That's a lot of their conversation.
I guarantee you if you went to one Portuguese person and called it a pucetta, they'd be like, what the fuck?
I really don't know. Really,
yeah. I've got a question. Oh, he's back. I've got a question. How do they know?
French accent. French accent.
Yes,
what's your question?
How do they know Portuguese man-o-wars speak Portuguese?
I don't know.
I think those scientists are full of shit. You came in to say that? Well, I finished my cigarette.
I don't get the joke.
I get
it. I went out to have a cigarette earlier, and I heard him say Portuguese, so I flicked it out and came in here and said, you know, I love science, but I don't trust mainstream scientists because how do they know, because I forgot the setup, how do they know Portuguese man-o-wars speak Portuguese? So what did he tell you? Did he tell you that thing about the accordion in my chest? I'm deformed.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. It's like a David Cronenberg horror story down here. If I pull it out, it's going to be like... slime and little line rivulets and dripping down like
I really don't want to see behind that accordion.
Kevin,
like I can only imagine.
You and Kevin definitely have a very unique relationship.
That's true.
It's like I wouldn't call it like, you know,
like two gay guys.
No,
but I would call it a tray and some chocolate.
Right,
a tray and some chocolate.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
A tray's like a box of chocolate.
You never know what erectile dysfunction you'll get.
It's true.
Well, I've heard that if you put the pill in a box of chocolate. It's
like a dog.
It's kind of like boner roulette.
Mm-hmm. Were you
Which one's got the boner pit?
Were you outside talking to Bill Cosby? Bill Cosby, get out of here!
Well,
shoo!
You
got to have
the fun. You let
get
the funny
You're
happen.
You're not wanted.
Just let the funny happen.
Shouldn't you be in jail right now?
They told me that I had to watch Sex and the City as part of my therapy to understand.
Go to the alley. Go no.
Get out of here,
shoo.
Cosby. Get
okay, sorry. Okay, we had to have that short intermission. I'm sorry.
Before we get to any of the other ladies in this episode, let's do some fuck, marry, kill, right? I guess yeah. We should ask French first of all.
Now that your manager has left the room,
yeah,
he's gone
Thank
to
goodness.
Take a call from, I believe it was his wife.
No, he's not. Who knows? That guy's a stick in the mud.
Yeah, maybe it's just a booker that didn't pay him.
Yeah,
No.
I let him run his own business.
Okay, so out of all the characters in this episode, it doesn't matter how big or small, maybe not even a character, just a key grip or a best boy, who would you fuck, marry, and or kill in this episode?
This is a hard question. Well, that blonde's pretty hot. She looks like a fun little roll in the hay.
But
there.
Which
SJP
blonde?
SJP or Samantha?
Yeah, SJP looks like a fun little roll in the hay.
Mm-hmm.
Though that's 2001. It's been 17 years.
That's
so
true.
Know. Who knows?
But her, but them in this episode.
In this episode, we.
Yes.
You can time travel in this game.
If I were going to get hitched, I mean, the blonde one's too ridiculous, and the brunette's too neurotic. The redhead's neurotic, too, but I could ply her with chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I probably marry that one. If things got crazy, I'll just buy her a cake and hide the soap.
Okay, so you would marry Miranda.
Yeah, she's pissed, but she's in a food coma. So
yeah.
We're, you know, I can manage that.
And she's
it
got
works.
A good job,
yeah.
So she could support you on your
there
gigs.
You
know,
she's a partner in a firm. She makes a lot of money
mm-hmm.
that she can't
Bam.
Share with anyone.
Yeah, sugar mama, you know. I
yeah.
just bring them the sugar, and she's, yeah, I don't know.
She'd love your cat, I would
she'd
assume.
Yeah, she'd be a crazy cat lady. I could go do gigs, you know, for most of the year, and she'd be taking the break from sex, and then I'd show up, and, you know, we'd make some chocolate dirty, and there we go.
Yeah.
As to kill, I don't know. I don't know who I'd kill. I found that Portuguese lady annoying. I found her quite annoying.
Maria,
the lesbian.
She's like, no, let me teach you about my pussetas. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That doesn't make your lover straight immediately. What in the world? My puss. I don't even want to get in with that. I'm gonna celibate.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna go celebrate good times right now after seeing your pussetta.
Celebrate good times. Come on.
Yep. It's a celebration.
Right, we get some music in there. Celebrate good times. No sex.
No, I feel like, yeah, like in her relationship, it is going to be a lot of, like, yeah, fingers and going down on chicks and whatnot. But then 6 months in, Miranda's going to, or Samantha's going to be like, where is that pusetta? I haven't seen it in 6 months.
Or in less time than that, but we'll see during the episodes. But at the same time, although she's the most, Samantha is the most sexually adventurous of the four. She is.
I also think
she's
very, the least attractive.
Yeah.
Kim Cattrall,
I don't find her very attractive. No, I actually think the redhead's cuter.
Really?
There you go. The redhead.
If it were for me, it would be Blondie, the redhead, then the brunette, then Kim Cattrall.
I see.
There you go.
Go level of attractiveness.
There you go. But point being, Kim Cattrall, this entire arc, the only reason that it's exciting, like, it's exciting because she's going lesbian, but also it's much more exciting that she's committing to a relationship because she is the sex-hungry, independent woman who is unable to have lasting relationships or commit to anything.
Let that be a lesson, girls listening. If you're that sex-hungry, crazy woman, you're going to be licking a pusseta and getting notes by a Portuguese woman on how bad you are. So just take that into advisement.
That sounds like a pretty good life, not going to lie. I would be down for that.
I also like that she described her pusseta as a fabulous cave.
Did you know that when a vagina gets engorged, it expands to the size of a fist? It's like a fabulous cave.
I guess they've had sex.
Apparently so.
And we have three holes down there.
Okay, stop talking about your relationship.
But it's fascinating. There are places a dick just can't go.
Oh, some dicks manage just fine.
Please, Maria has 10 dicks.
For the record, you started this.
I am sorry, but a finger is not a dick.
Yes, a finger is more like a third of a dick. So technically, Maria only has 3 1/3 dicks.
Now, I can tell you right now, this is not the same as this.
Okay, put that away.
I'm just saying, size has nothing to do with it.
What's happening to you?
I'm getting an education. Not only do I now know everything there is to know about the glorious Boceta, that's Portuguese for pussy.
Boceta, shmagina, let's call the whole thing off.
The most important thing is that Maria has taught me how to connect during sex. It's not just some animal act. It's about two people making love.
Yeah, the vaginas went in gorge.
It's a fabulous cave.
It's a fabulous cave.
Oh, it's a cave of wonders.
Oh my goodness gracious.
Was that the one that was directed by, who is that director, Daryl?
Hmm?
Like, did you ever see that cave of, the fabulous cave of wonders? That was...
Was it Werner Herzog?
Werner Herzog film,
yeah.
Right?
Werner Herzog. Yeah. I hear the birds. You hear them singing. I hear them crying in agony. It's the pain of existence. Have you not seen my documentary where it says that? They're crying in pain.
That was just a quick excerpt of that film that we collected.
Yeah.
That was very cool how you had it projected like that and the sound was so perfectly ingrained.
We keep Werner Herzog and Ted Kaczynski clips on the ready.
Just got them on tech.
Always.
Yes.
Fair enough.
We also have a consistent countdown to 9/11.
We are getting close.
We're getting so close to 9/11.
4 months within 9/11.
To when 9/11 will happen. Yeah. And then the next episode where they will refuse to admit or acknowledge that it happened.
That's true.
That's insane. That happens in the show.
That's No, 9/11 happened hits. In real life, and they're like, we're in New York, and they just keep living like they're in New York. But, like, they don't air the episodes where they have views of the Twin Towers as much.
Interesting.
Afterwards.
Buildings there?
I don't know. Let's get
I don't
some
know.
Dick.
Let's go get some dick. Yeah. That's the funny thing to me. You know, she's talking about her pussetta and how it's a wonderful cave.
Yeah.
I've never been just sitting there staring at my dick like, look at this beautiful shaft of meat. These veins are a wonderful little path of pleasure
like
going to
a Stonehenge.
Tip of ice cream frosting. What the fuck?
I have a question, though. Have you ever stared at another man's dick and had that thought?
Yeah. I have not. To be honest, I don't even like looking at my own dick that much. That's more than enough for me. My own dick is, it's under the accordion, and it's got little keys and buttons on it.
I will say
that makes sense. That makes sense.
I'm playing it right now. All right, I'm just kidding. My dick is the accordion. All right. All right, anyway.
Not only did she call
it... You do seem to touch it a lot.
That is correct.
Another fun fact about the pusseta, especially Maria's pusseta, it is a squirting.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, she's
a squirter.
She's a squirter. And Samantha
I dated one of those.
She does not expect that.
Nope.
No, she does not.
But I don't think anyone does until it happens.
I don't even think the person that's squirting knows that it's going to happen until
oh,
it happens.
Oh, no, they know. I dated the squirter once.
Mm-hmm. Did she give you, like, a bib or some sort of, like, splash
slicker? I bought towels.
Slicker?
I bought a green and a blue towel.
That's cool.
And we just put it down and...
You didn't get a sneeze guard.
No, I did not. I was not always face down in the muck when things went squirty. But
I also feel like there should have been maybe more fluid.
It does seem like... That just one little squirt gun, that doesn't represent my experience.
No, I feel like there was a lot more.
Yes, my experience was, is this girl pissing on me? Am I being played here? What the fuck is going on?
Right, is Ashton Kutcher in her pusseta?
Am I getting punked? Am I gonna... Yeah, so I've had that experience before, and I don't think she was pissing.
No.
I checked. I was like, well, this isn't... There's a different viscosity. There's a different... effluvia.
This is
something else.
You busted out like a CSI kit.
I did on the spot. I've got different compartments in my accordion with different measurement accoutrements.
You are French, so generally I wouldn't like take the man's opinion seriously, but I assume you have more experience than anyone ever should. So
as a Frenchman,
I will.
That's what we do. It's like, well, what are you going? You're going to have Chinese, you're going to have Thai, you're going to have American. I think I'm just going to have a good old-fashioned French whore tonight, you know? We choose that like we choose the food. Like I said, the venereal disease, it's like blue cheese.
Yeah, it's very tasty and goes good on a salad.
It does, it does. And careful the salads you get in France. That's, where did they get that blue cheese? Where did they get it from? That's
most of it's from a cave. From
yeah,
what I've
squirted
heard,
out in
like
chunks.
Roquefort.
Yeah,
wondrous this blue cheese cave.
Fabulous cave. So, should we move
very true.
On?
I've never admired my Eiffel Tower.
Do you also? Here's a nice thing. Speaking of Eiffel Towers, what do you call your penis? Because Trey calls it a John Thomas.
Okay, couldn't I?
Yeah,
just,
I didn't like that about Trey. That's can, one thing I didn't like.
Can I just point out?
I was
out,
thinking of Thomas the Tank Engine.
Y'all. Real quick, no, can I point out that like two or three episodes ago, they were in couples therapy and he didn't know what to call his dick for couples therapy. Mm-hmm. And it was a whole thing where Charlotte had to like get him to agree to call it a thing for couples therapy. And it was Schooner. But then in this episode, when he's sexually active again, he immediately goes to John Thomas, and I'm like, well, that's a far cry from being told by your wife that you need to call it something and be like, I don't know. And she's like, you like boats, do schooner.
Maybe it should have been
and he's
like
I guess.
Maybe it should have been like Captain John Thomas.
It felt like he was proud of it now when before he was ashamed.
Right, because he was definitely wanting
he was,
her to measure it.
And yeah, exactly. It was a complete turnabout.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to say it. Next time I'm hard, would you consider measuring my John Thomas?
What? No!
I understand. It's juvenile. I know, but I just never seen it like this.
I'm taking a shower.
Charlotte was never a woman who cared much about penises. And now, a penis was running her life.
It was, I would say, a port side turnabout. I'm trying to still use, like, shipman's terms. Sailing terms?
Shipman's term?
I call it a shipman. Yeah, that's what I do on a boat.
We call it seaman in France.
I'm a shipman.
I don't know. It's just what we call it, you know?
Yeah, no, I get it. You're crazy.
I named my dick Luke Skywalker.
Nice.
Why?
Ah, well, the force is strong with this one. You know, that's right. My friend named his dick Godzilla.
Why?
I asked him why. He said because it's a big rubbery monster that goes around terrorizing Japanese people. I said touche, you know?
I like that it's Japanese people. It's not gender specific, but it is race specific.
Mm-hmm. A guy who names his dick Godzilla is just going around terrorizing what he can. That's what I figured.
Is he also a metaphor for the atomic bomb?
Wow, you've cracked the code. I've never thought of it that way. It could be. That is what Godzilla is, isn't it? It's sort of a metaphor.
It really is. Mm-hmm. No, the original was. So, like, he could be that, but, like, instead of a metaphor for the atomic bomb, it's a metaphor for syphilis.
Oh, yeah. It's like a Godzilla dick just came through Japan and knocked over all of the buildings.
Exactly.
I'm with you.
Yeah,
you.
Like, yeah. STDs are a lot like that, for sure.
They come
end
out of the
lives.
Sea, they're radioactive.
Mm-hmm.
They fight big moths and breathe fire. I'm with you.
That's what my sores and scabs do.
Okay, so.
Is that not normal?
No, it's quite normal.
That's what they do. They breathe fire.
Thank you.
Little baby Godzilla.
And fight moth.
Yeah.
Fight Mothra.
Mm-hmm. That's what I call my pussetta.
And
Mothra.
And Mecha Godzilla.
Because it is attracted to the light.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mecha Godzilla.
And it's very fuzzy.
It's a fuzzy, light loving little mm-hmm. or large. There's big moths. There's some big fuzzy moths out there.
It's exactly true. Okay, speaking of moths, let's get into the fashion.
Ooh, yeah, we have to get into the fashion of the episode. What did we think of the outfits? Fashion. Daryl, did anything stand out to you?
Well, first of all, when they were leaving the restaurant and they were walking, and Carrie was wearing a weird shower cap for some reason with these weird red gloves.
Yep.
And it was like, what? Okay, this is even weird for Carrie. She looked like a 60-year-old woman with some weird, like, halitosis on her hands.
And at the time, she was in a relationship. So it wasn't even the show, like, overtly hammering you over the head with, like, they're single, they're sad, and not trying anymore. Like, she was trying.
And I will say, not gonna lie, this wasn't a fashion-heavy episode. Like, there wasn't a lot of, like, things that stood out that were like, whoa, or what? It wasn't
either.
It's
true. That's, I didn't notice that many.
The other thing that I noticed, too, though, was she was wearing this black bra with, like, a white shirt over it. And I'm not going to lie, I've never thought that was a weird, like a cool move that women do, where they have like the bra being a different color than the shirt, and I'm going to like have the shirt be kind of see-through so you can kind of see both. I'm just like, just...
Show me them titties.
Yeah, where where the...
Get them girls out of the display. What are you trying to say?
Show me the titties.
I'll go half ass here.
Or wear a parka. Like, come on. Sake. Like, yeah. Don't try to do both.
Yeah, no, I feel you. I've always felt that's a little bit of an odd move myself.
It doesn't seem like a man move.
In France, we wear no underwear and we don't shave.
Mm.
We're just like, here's our body parts and smell. You know, come taste my cheese.
Yeah, I like that.
I grew it in a cave.
I grew it in a cave of wonders. Wonders from under.
Yep. But other than that, I mean, I don't know how many outfits like kind of stood out more. Like, I mean, yeah, there were a few that were like, okay. But nothing that was like, whoa. I gotta talk about this shit.
It's true. Usually it's a bit crazier than this episode. Mm-hmm. I honestly didn't notice anything that I thought was crazy. Although, I do want to point out the little bra showing through the shirt thing.
Yeah.
I own at any point in time between one and two bras.
Ah.
Yeah. So if they don't, I know, I'm also impressed by it. But, so if they
Whoa,
do not.
Rockefeller here with two bras.
To the listener, I don't mean to alienate you with my wealth, but I will.
Yeah.
But so I definitely own things where it's just like, if it doesn't fit with the rest of it, then that's just too fucking bad, ain't it?
Fair
this
enough.
Was a fashion choice in the show, but I'm saying overall,
in real
like,
life,
but there are a lot of very just sad, poor women out there.
Aren't you also the type of woman that might go braless?
No,
braless in Bolivia.
Not really.
Okay. I might have.
If I don't think anyone will notice,
I never wear a bra.
Really?
I never wear one.
You
no,
should.
Do your friends consider you brave?
I mean, not when I'm on the treadmill, you know, you get the bloody nipples. But other than that, I'm in good shape, you know.
It does seem like a bra would be constricting for the accordion.
It is, you know. But what really sucks is when I get my nipples pinched in the bellows, you know. That's no fun. Happens more to my beard than my nipples.
Hey-o. Okay, so, final thoughts. Should we discuss what we want to talk about of this episode? Before we shove on out
lasting
of here.
Impressions, yeah. French accent, and also we're going to bring your manager
bring
in
Kevin
here afterwards.
Back. All right. Well, I will go first, and I'll call him in. Pussetta, I'll remember that. John Thomas, what are we, what? Penis. You call it a pussetta, John Thomas, or a penis. None of these things, they're just kind of cringy to me.
What if he said, why don't you measure my French accent?
I'd say, you fucker, I am not your male member, Kyle MacLachlan. What are you talking about? I am a person with an accordion for a chest. I was born, it's a birth defect. I was born with, let's see, I like Kyle MacLachlan. I thought it was really cool to run into that guy from the 13th floor.
Yeah.
I felt bad for him.
What's his face? Greg Bierko.
Yeah, he's great.
Bierko.
Love that guy.
Mm-hmm.
I felt really bad for him. I felt bad for John Thomas and Kyle MacLachlan.
Yes.
I thought, my goodness, this is a window into the female psyche, and I am more confused than I've ever been.
Yep.
And I was like, well, that was an experience. Now I've seen Sex and the City before.
Yeah, will you watch it again?
I mean,
I've
never done acid before.
Do you want to be a super fan now? Like, are you like, I need to see everything that's
you
happened on the
show.
Go
back and watch all the...
I love it now.
No.
Tell us your true feelings.
Because I know that's a lie.
Yeah, I know that's a lie. Yeah.
I think we should
get... Maybe
we
should let me call my manager.
I think we should
ask Kevin, get in here. Get in here.
Speak to your manager about this.
What did you do to these guys? They're all... What did he try and pull off his accordion? What did he try and do?
He was not a fan of Sex and the City, it turns out.
Oh, yeah.
And by... What Daryl means to say is that he was a liar.
Mm-hmm. How? What did he lie about?
He lied about disliking Sex in the City.
Yeah, he seems like the type that would like Sex in the City. He likes sex in any city, even though he never gets any. Mm-hmm. Don't edit that to my fans. All right. You're a Casanova.
Such
a fragile ego man.
Point being, though, Kevin, what were your thoughts on this episode of Sex in the City, considering you're so close to French accent and that you watch everything he watches?
It's true.
I do. It's in the contract.
That's a very confusing contract.
It is. It was written up by a gnome from a country that's not our own.
It looks like it's also
gnome
in crayon.
From a country that's not our own. Yeah, Chomsky?
It's a rap lyric.
Oh, hot damn.
Gnome from a country not our own. Chomsky. Gnome from a country not our own. Chomsky. Gnome from a country not our own. Chomsky. All right, I'm gonna
stop. I got
it.
No, that's going to be a catchy number one hit soon.
Yeah, I think we should develop it. Nah, we'll work on that. Well, maybe we'll do it later. All right.
Okay, but we want to hear your opinion of the episode. So you're a super fan now, and you want to catch up and watch every episode up until this point, yes?
You know, I'm not sure. I didn't say I'm a super fan per se. You know, I'm not sure.
Not yet.
Why are you
being
Charlie Day? All right. It's an interesting experience. I'm glad to have had it.
Of course.
It's wonderful. We're glad.
Wonderful podcast. Wonderful hosts.
On.
Wonderful love the cosmos. Not sure it's my cup of vodka. Or tea or coffee. It's not.
What if you?
I wouldn't put it in a cup and drink it.
What if you met like a nice young lady that was all into what you had to offer, and she was in your RV, and she was like, you know, what would be really cool if we watched Sex in the City.
If she's into Doctor Who, we're good.
Nope, she was all into Sex
no,
in the City.
No, what I mean is, if we watch Sex in the City, she got to watch Doctor Who.
No, but she will.
Then we're okay.
But
we'll
she expects. Like you to hold up your end and reciprocate.
I will. And if we get through Doctor Who, we're watching Star Trek. And if we get through Star Trek,
But the whole time, you're just going to be watching reruns of Sex in the City.
No, we got to have give and take. If it's just Sex in the City.
No, it's going to be that.
Then we're
but
good.
If it's like episode for episode, Sex in the City is less time than Doctor Who and Star Trek.
That's true.
My plan. You have stumbled upon the details. Oh, my goodness. I'm learning from French accent now. That's disturbing. Mm-hmm. That's very strange. We're spending too much time together. No, you don't think so. No, I do. That was
I
really
noticed
freaky.
that tour bus only had one bed in it.
It's true.
Oh, well, French accent. I don't know if he doesn't actually sleep. He's like a force that goes about at night and
like meth.
Tickles the hobos. Like meth, yes.
Yeah.
Just like meth. He was cooked up in a lab. He's questionable and too happy.
Yeah. And ruins lives.
Missing teeth.
Or makes them better when when Yoda tells people how to use him.
Speed you should
for
take.
Good.
Force it will give you.
Never go to sleep, you will.
So many things will you get done.
So what I'm hearing is that you loved it and you want to be back on, but you're embarrassed to say it. That's what I'm hearing.
I wouldn't mind being back on at all. No, I'd come back on the show.
Because you loved it. That's what I'm hearing. And you don't need to either verify or contradict it because that's what I heard already. You thought it was cinematic masterpiece.
Of course. I'm taking from your high-pitched screaming that, this was amazing.
You can't even put it into words. You can't even put it into words or noises.
Let us speak for you and say
you're just
that you
like
love
doing
this.
A dog whistle where it's just like sounds to alert animals to the brilliance of Sex in the City.
It really is such a show.
Yeah.
It's got a beginning, it's got a middle, it's got an end.
It
it's
is.
Got characters.
A lot of my favorite shows, like, that's the through line. They have all of those things. They have characters, and then they have a beginning, middle, and end.
This show's so predictable.
But I
do like to think that Sex in the City started that trend.
Right.
Yeah, them and
having
they invented
they
it.
They did.
Well, Shakespeare didn't make a TV show.
And
did
I understand there's two movies, right?
There are That's two right. movies.
Two
there
movies,
are.
And I'm sure they're really Sex
they're
in the City.
Definitely good.
Very profound, you know.
I mean, they're 90 minutes plus.
Wow. They go. I didn't know it was Lord of the Rings in the city.
It is. They are definitely.
SATCLOTR.
They're like four episodes all in one.
Wow.
It's amazing. So, guys, We want to thank again Kevin and Frank Jackson
Absolute
for coming.
Hey, yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, we enjoy coming on these sorts
thank
of shows.
Thank you.
They're
yes.
time. They really are.
We loved having you, and we hope to have you on again at some
Absolute
point.
Absolute demand.
Guys, follow Kevin as well as ourselves, all on the liner notes.
Oh, and guys, don't forget, after this outro, we have some deleted scenes from this episode. We found it on the DVD, so check that out.
And, yeah, just wait till next week, guys. A whole brand new episode.
Woo. We will see you then.
Yeah. Au revoir, vai con Dios, fito se, sayonara, catch you later, lassie. That was Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
We je ne comprends pas.
Je ne peux pas pour la fois.
Exactly.
Ex nata hombre.
Those fit on. That was fun.
Alpha, AB Mark.
Hey, guys, we have to ask Vinny about his relationship.
What, the gay thing?
Yeah, he's upset we didn't ask about it.
You know he's just doing this for the tabloids. It's not even a real relationship.
I'm serious.
Yeah, I don't know. I could see it. He spends a lot of time on his hair.
So do you, drama. That doesn't mean...
Vinny, how's it going? How's the boyfriend?
He's amazing, guys. Matthew is smart. He's funny. Did you know he's looking at getting into directing?
That's great, Vinny. You know, there could be some interesting collaboration there.
We have the most amazing sex. It's like we have this connection.
Hey, that's great, Vinny.
And it's in my butthole. Did you know that your ass has the same number of nerve endings in it as your hands? He's really opened my eyes.
Vinny, you're not gay. You can't just decide you like dick.
Well, I did. And if you really think that, then I feel sorry for you.
Hey, you know, you're my brother. I want you to be happy. Just don't eat breakfast sausage in front of me no more.
You're such a Charlotte drama.
Yeah, guys, come on. I don't know what that means, but if Vinny says drama's a Charlotte, then damn it, he's a Charlotte.
That's a cut. Check the game. Alpha, AB Mark.
Hello, no one is available to take your call. Please leave a message after the tone.
I'm sure you're busy, but I just thought you should know your best friend just ate a piece of cake from the trash. Call me. Carrie, where are you? I just saw someone throw out half a pizza. It's not dumpster diving if you don't get inside of the dumpster, right? Call me back. Carrie, I was wandering through the woods and found a bag of food in a tree. Anyhow, men are the worst, right?
Hello, this is a message for Carrie Bradshaw, emergency contact of Miss Miranda Hobbs. Officer Clark speaking. It seems Miss Hobbs was mistaken for an emaciated bear. An animal control shot her with a trank. We need someone to come pick her up. So if you could give us a call, we'd rather not keep her overnight. She's covered in garbage food.
That's a cut. Check the gate.